Most of the Americans Captain Ivanov had encountered were tourists on adventure excursions around the New Siberian Sea. They tended to be affluent and middle-aged, armed with cameras and spotting scopes, and intrepid in their pursuit of one rare bird or another. But the two men who had descended from the sky and boarded his ship as if they owned it were cut from a different mold. The seaplane carrying Austin and Zavala had caught up with the Russian icebreaker Kotelny northwest of Wrangel Island and touched down a few hundred feet from the vessel. Captain Ivanov ordered a boat lowered to fetch the plane's passengers. He was waiting on deck, curious about these Americans who had the political clout to commandeer his ship as their personal ferry. The first to climb up the boarding ladder was a broad-shouldered man with pale hair and light blue eyes, set in a rugged, bronzed face. He was followed on deck by a slimmer, dark-complexioned man who moved with a relaxed athleticism that was a holdover from his college boxing days. They waved at the seaplane as it taxied for a takeoff. The captain stepped forward to introduce himself. Despite his irritation, he strictly adhered to the customs of the sea. Their handshakes were firm, and behind the friendly smiles, the captain detected a cool self-assurance that told him these were no bird watchers. The blue-eyed man smiled and said, "Thank you for having us aboard, Captain Ivanov. My name is Kurt Austin, and this is my friend and associate Joe Zavala. We're with NUMA, the National Underwater and Marine Agency." The captain's stolid features softened. He had run into NUMA scientists a few times during his many years at sea and had been impressed with the agency's ships and the professionalism of its people. "I'm honored to have you as my guests," he said. Austin explained their mission to rescue Carla Janus and won over Captain Ivanov quickly to NUMA's cause. "A request, if you don't mind," Austin said. "I wonder if there is a clear area of the deck where Joe and I can work without interfering with the ship's crew."
"Yes, of course, there is plenty of room in the stern."
"We brought two large bags aboard. Could you see that they are brought aft for us?"
"I'll give the order right away."
The captain led them back on deck. He rounded up a couple of crewmen who carried a large bag to an area of the deck behind the superstructure. After the captain left to attend to his duties, the crewmen watched in fascination as Austin and Zavala pulled a circular framework 18 inches deep and 32 inches in diameter from the bag. The aluminum tubing backpack unit enclosed a 25-horsepower Zenoa engine, a 2.5-gallon fuel tank, and a four-blade propeller. They attached the framework to a narrow seat. Then they attached lines from the framework to a canopy made of ripstop nylon. In a short time, they had assembled the Adventure F3, a French-made paraglider. From their other bags, Austin pulled a holster out of his duffel, checked the load in his bow and revolver, and stuffed extra ammunition into a fanny pack. For this mission, Zavala had chosen a Heckler & Koch 45 model that was developed for the Army Special Forces. They carried a GPS, compass, portable radios, a first aid kit, and other emergency items. They wore inflatable flotation belts instead of bulky life vests, and dressed for the damp weather with waterproof outer layers over wool. When the time came, the ship was positioned with its stern to the wind, and a portion of the deck cleared for takeoff. Austin was pleased to see that the wind was no more than 10 miles an hour. A stronger wind might push them backward. He knew, too, that the wind speed in the air would be higher than on the ground. When the 300-square-foot canopy caught wind and rose in the air, Austin squeezed the hand throttle to full power, and they began to climb. Eventually, they reached an altitude of 500 feet and flew toward the island at a speed of about 25 miles per hour. As they neared land, Austin put the paraglider into a gradual descent. They came in over the right-hand spit of land that enclosed the harbor. Austin pulled on the left-hand brake, and they swung around on a gradual turn that took them over the deserted beach toward the river he had seen in the charts. Austin saw an object near the river, but the mists enshrouding the paraglider made it difficult to see details. Zavala shouted in his ear, "There's a body down there!" Austin brought the paraglider lower. The body was in a small, inflatable life raft that had been drawn up on the beach barely out of reach from the river's flow. He saw that the figure had long gray hair. He reduced the throttle and pulled back on both brake handles. The wing was supposed to act like a parachute, allowing for stand-up landings, but they came in too fast and too high. Their knees buckled, and they did a double nose plant in the sand. But at least they were down.